The governor campaigns for a repeal of the medical device tax. Does it make sense? The state files another Obamacare lawsuit. Todd Young's role in a bipartisan movement in Indy clears a Super Bowl hurdle. That plus gay marriage for an Indiana politician, John Mellencamp's musical, and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending October 11,
2013. Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
AT&T, connecting Hoosiers with the world for more than 130 years. Investing to build communication networks to help Indiana businesses and consumers succeed in a global economy. AT&T, rethink possible.
This week, the governor made a campaign-style visit to a medical device maker. He again called for the repeal of the medical device tax that is a part of Obamacare. Mike Pence toured a plant owned by Great Batch Medical on the east side. It's a place where medical devices used in surgery are manufactured. It's owned by a corporation that is already paying a tax of 2.3% on each device. It took effect at the first of the year.
Repealing the medical device tax is authentic common ground in Washington, D.C.
The governor believes money can be found elsewhere in the federal budget to cover the income from the medical device tax. He sat down with CEOs from a number of medical device companies to hear about the benefits of a repeal, things like more money for research and development.
It does have a material impact in our ability to make those investments and generate the jobs that we've been able to generate thus far with our presence in Indiana.
20,000 people work in the medical device industry in Indiana. An industry spokeswoman says innovation is also hampered by the new tax.
I want you to focus on not just the jobs, but the health of the citizens of the state of Indiana and across the world.
But the governor keeps coming back to the federal shutdown.
I'm going to continue to champion those efforts and believe it is a part of what could be an agreement to get the government reopened.
Will the governor accomplish his goal? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanis, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV Statehouse reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, would a repeal of the medical device tax be good for Indiana?
Well, it would be good for those businesses. There's no question about that. But the question is, how do you fund the Affordable Care Act without it?
Mike Pence thinks that you can find the money through what he calls the reconciliation process.
Yeah,
in Congress.
That's great. And, of course, he doesn't identify a source for that or anything else. You know, right. I wish I believed that his opposition to the device tax was more about fostering Indiana business and less about killing Obamacare, which is really what he's trying to do here. He's trying to take the funding stream out without identifying any source for it. If he were really interested about Indiana jobs and Indiana corporations, he would be promoting the Affordable Care Act, because as the New York Times points out this morning, one of the great beneficiaries of the Affordable Care Act is Anthem.
Well, Ann is suggesting, I do believe, that maybe as governor, Mike Pence should stay out of this argument. But as governor, it's his job to bring jobs to Indiana.
Absolutely. Right? And we have over 300 medical device companies in the state, employ over 20,000 people. And so this is critically important. And what's interesting about this is at a time when everybody's trying to talk about how you lower the cost of healthcare, why would you put a tax on life-saving devices that people need, not only here in Indiana, but all over the world? This is one of our biggest export products that we have. And almost every Indiana congressman has voted to repeal it. Only Carson and Vescosi have not. Donnelly and all of the Republicans and Dan Coats have. And I do think it can be part of a settlement to move on to get the government going again, because there's so many people, not only in Indiana, but around the country that are affected by this, other states, that I think this could be a piece of what helps bring
I don't
the
think
government.
I don't think the president has said he won't talk about things like this until the government's
right.
running.
Yeah, I know he does.
It may be part of the debate going forward.
I think it will be. I absolutely
well,
think this will be.
He's indicated a willingness to talk about it going forward.
And it should be, because these jobs pay 56% higher than the average job in the state of Indiana that are medical device jobs.
Yeah, but the other problem about that is having Mike Pence as the spokesman when he's over there on the sidelines saying, yeah. shut it down,
That's
shut it down, shut it down.
It's his job in the government
down.
To do
no,
that,
no,
bring
no.
jobs
it's
here.
It's not his job.
Sure,
John. It is not his job.
As I said, this was a campaign-style event. You know, roundtable discussion, plant tour, media availability, all the trappings. But who's he campaigning to? Is it to these device makers, or is it to folks in Washington, or is it the Hoosier voters?
Is all of the above an option? I mean, in some ways, there's, a policy question here about economic development. And there are a lot of companies, Northern Indiana, including Joe Donnelly's old district when he was a member of the U.S. House, that are rich in these kinds of jobs. So I think that's he's playing certainly to that issue. But then also the notion of trying to be somebody who is trying to solve the problem rather than someone who is seen as, he's trying to, I think, whether this, I know you're giving me this weird look over here, but
it's not a weird look. I just don't believe you believe that.
I didn't say I believe. I'm saying this is, I think, part of the
position. He's offering a potential solution. You don't see many people doing that.
Well,
here's it's not as if he's going out on a limb by himself. If you look at Democrats and Republicans alike, as Mike has suggested, the top states in terms of jobs for this, California's number one, surprise, surprise. Massachusetts, arguably one of the most liberal and all Democratic congressional representation, with Elizabeth Warren, with Ed Markey, they all want to see this thing repealed. Right. So it's not as if he's out there on a limb by himself.
You find it interesting how high a profile he's kept on an issue that's in Washington?
It's a winner for him, and so why wouldn't he? I mean, if he's going to weigh in, he ought to weigh in a meaningful way. And the device tax does have huge effect in Indiana, potential huge effect in Indiana. And I do believe that at some point in the process, likely after the shutdown is averted, it will become a major bargaining chip in how the end game comes together.
All right, the state of Indiana and 15 school districts filed suit against the IRS this week. Democratic state lawmaker Ed Delaney says it amounts to an attempt to keep everyone in Indiana from getting health insurance unless they pay 100% of the premium. He addressed reporters outside a hospital that he said may close if Obamacare is blocked. The attorney general is challenging the ability of the IRS to fine government entities if they fail to comply with the new health care law. Delaney contends that's part of an ongoing effort by the governor to undermine the president's health care plan.
I feel like the governor is like a cheerleader who realizes he's not in the game. He's not in Washington anymore, and now he wants to run out on the field, stop being a cheerleader, and become a player. Governor, the game is over.
We don't know that the state has ever been taxed before by the IRS, and I think before we rearrange our entire state structure, we ought to know that question.
Attorney General Greg Zeller there. Mike McDaniel, why not look to Congress to clarify the law? There's a one-year delay in the fines that they talk about.
Well, the reason you don't go to Congress to clarify the law right now is because that law is getting ready to be, we're getting ready to have it penalize people. And they have
not
to do
until
something.
2015.
Right. And that's what I said. Where you're at, we got to deal with it now because school systems have to hire people. They're talking about the way this is set up, 30 hours or more for the federal government wants us to be able to provide health insurance for. Right now, the standard in Indiana is 37 and a half. And so the argument is over whether the federal government can tell state government how they can deal with their employees. And Greg Zeller and these school districts believe very strongly that they can't use the IRS to do that, because what we're talking about doing here is laying off. They're going to have a choice of either laying off people like teachers' aides or bus drivers or part-time coaches, whatever, because they don't want to pay that employee for health care if they're over 30 hours. But if some of these school districts, you'd have to have two sets of bus drivers, somebody to pick them up in the morning, somebody to pick up in the afternoon, just to deal with it. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work for these schools.
The key
and they got schools all over Indiana calling the Attorney General's office now wanting to be part of this. It's also going on in other states. Oklahoma, there's a suit that's been filed there. Businesses in Washington, D.C. This is going to be a huge question. All he's asking for is a declaratory judgment from the court, which is what the courts are for, and that's what he ought to do.
Well, that's the, not what he's asking.
That's well, what he is.
The main question that he says he's seeking an answer to.
I don't care what you're talking about. Obama, you're saying
he doesn't know?
Obamacare, no, he doesn't.
And you do.
Obamacare, I do,
yeah. The Obamacare law calls for fines if employers don't provide health insurance.
Right.
The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that those fines are actually a tax.
Right.
That's part
right.
of their
right.
their ruling right. that makes Obamacare constitutional. He
right.
wants to know how the federal government can tax the state government.
Since
that's
we don't pay
of,
taxes.
Part of what he wants to know. The other part that he's being disingenuous about is he is saying that if you do not have a state exchange in Indiana, which we don't because Mike Pence didn't set one
36
up.
36 others don't either.
Just a minute, no, Michael. I let you
go
finish.
Ahead. Go ahead.
That Michael, Mike, that if you don't have a state exchange, then no Hoosier voter, no Hoosier citizen is entitled to have a supplement from the federal government. That doesn't only affect the school systems and the state employees. That affects every single Hoosier between zero and 400% of poverty.
Well, is this,
he's depriving 800,000 people of insurance.
Tell
That's
me.
His goal.
Is that the goal, or is this an effort to get some questions answered?
It's a twofer, because the outcome, if depending on if it reaches the courts and the
if it's
ruling
not dismissed
is
outright.
And a ruling is declared, that could be the outcome. It could be determined that the IRS does not have this ability, and that would cause a problem for the Affordable Care Act. And the outcome may also be this the scenario that Ann described, which is, I think, even more difficult to deal with. So it really has a potential to throw a wrench into the whole Affordable Care Act, and that may be the overall goal.
Of course it's the overall
well,
goal.
Well, Indiana's leading again in opposition to Obamacare.
Although, as Mike pointed out, Oklahoma is involved with similar litigation. So there are two states, I guess, at the forefront of this fight.
Indiana's leading.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's interesting, the whole 10th Amendment question is showing up in so many arenas lately. I mean, in criminal justice, it's interesting. This is sort of the new mantra. Well, I mean, not new. It's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. But the notion of state sovereignty and the notion of it sort of is this. Every time you sort of think that this debate has been settled as a nation, about every 20 years, I think we're going through, it's like the cicadas, it keeps coming back.
Yeah, and it's been remarkably unsuccessful. On top of that, what they're asking a federal district court judge to do is to tell the Supreme Court that they really need to reconsider the ruling they just made. That's not going to happen.
What is scaring the school system to death is the penalty is such that it's not just for the employees that you decide you're not going to give the health care to. It's for everybody in that system. The bus drivers, the teachers, the administrator,
cafeteria.
So you get a fine for everybody in the district. And these schools don't have the money to do that kind of thing if they get those fines.
Well, they have money to build palaces for sports. They have the money to give
and
decent
now schools are paid for
to their
by the state.
Employees. They have enough to give decent health care.
That was in the property
employees.
Tax days. All right. Still with Obamacare and the government shutdown, Indiana Congressman Todd Young is taking a different approach to the shutdown than other Republicans from this state.
No Labels is made up of Republicans and Democrats who believe that it is still possible for the parties to work together in Congress. Todd Young says that's the only way the government shutdown ends.
My hope is that we can actually get some concrete proposals out of this group as we've done in the past.
Young was there when one of the leaders of No Labels spelled out the current problem.
Unfortunately, in our country today, most Americans believe much of their government is fighting just to fight. It's just now about the fight and not about fixing things.
Representative Young didn't get an opportunity to speak at this event, but he did at an earlier No Labels event in July.
Clearly, we have a mandate. We have a mandate to work together to find practical solutions to pressing challenges. I'm here to fulfill the mandate of the American people. I'm proud to be part of this coalition.
It's a contrast to the actions of other Indiana Republicans who have been outspoken about opposition to the president and the Democrats, and in Young's case, it's on purpose.
That people are growing weary of some of the strident rhetoric, the personal attacks, the outright demagoguery of some of our public discourse, and that needs to stop.
John Katzenberger, are you surprised by Todd Young's approach?
Oh, well, a little bit in the sense that that's the kind of talk that conventional wisdom leads you to think will get you a primary opponent in the next election.
It's not the Tea Party approach.
It's definitely not the Tea Party approach, but I think it is a very appealing approach for the majority of Americans, and I think it's a smart approach in that regard, because if you look at the polls, if you look at the instant reaction to the shutdown, Americans want Congress to work, and that's essentially what they're saying. And I think it's while it could have attract an opponent, I think it's a very practical approach.
My take is that he stands out from the rest of the Indiana delegation as a result.
Well, I think that's clear, and I think there is a lot to like about it. I think the public is largely frustrated with the impasse, and not just on this issue, but pick an issue where there's agreement on much of anything anymore. So it's the problem, and John alluded to this, is you may have, say, 60% maybe of the electorate in that district that would say, yeah, I like this, but those aren't the 60% who go to the polls in the primary. And that's the real challenge for them.
Yeah, 52 members of Congress took part in this event, Republicans and Democrats. No Labels, started by Evan Bayh, among others.
And Governor Huntsman from Utah.
You think they have the potential to accomplish anything?
Well, I'll tell you what I like about this. They may be the catalyst for talks to begin, because I talked with Todd Young about this last night, and Todd said what he liked about this group is it's not just a group of people perceive this to be a group of moderates. Everybody's got a label. But he said what this group is made up of, he said, we got some wild liberals on here and we got some Tea Party folks on the other end and everything in between. He said, well, that's why I like what I like about it, because at least they're coming together, trying to find common ground on some things. And as long as we keep it that way and we have groups from every group inside Congress participating, there's a chance that they could be the catalyst to really get some meaningful talks going on how to deal with this problem.
More than anything, they're keeping channels of communication open.
And that's obviously a good idea, because they have to talk in order to find common ground. And you know, to his credit, he's taken a page from Mike Pence's book. I mean, he ran a vicious negative campaign, just like Mike Pence ran against Phil Sharp. Yeah. And then we got the mea culpa, and we're coming back. We're not going to do that anymore. If he's truthing us about that and is going to run positive from now on, that's a good thing.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, bipartisan cooperation a thing of the past? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, or C, it will come back in style eventually. Last week's question was, did Marlon Stutzman damage his reputation this week? 59% said yes, 15% said no, 26% said what reputation? If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Indianapolis is still in the running to host the 2018 Super Bowl. The NFL named finalists this week, and they are Indy, Minneapolis, and New Orleans. The Super Bowl host committee now needs to raise $30 million from corporate and private sponsors by the time the bid is due, and the written bid will be due next April. The committee will give a presentation in May, and that is when the NFL owners will decide who will get to host the game. Mayor Greg Ballard.
The fact that we're in the final three, and you saw teams that got knocked out were traditionally in the rotation mostly, and so I think the NFL really appreciates what we did in the past, and hopefully we'll have a good package for them in the future.
John Schwanis, who should Indianapolis worry about most, Minneapolis or New Orleans?
Well, certainly New Orleans has a track record of doing it. They've done it as much as anyone, I think, tied maybe for among cities who have been frequent hosts. I'd say, though, that probably the bigger challenge may be from Minneapolis, because owners in the league tend to like to recognize or
reward
new stadiums, and that probably means more. I actually think this is great for Indianapolis, because a few months or whenever this first issue came up and it was clear that Indianapolis was going to put forth a bid, my worry was about the southern tier cities, the Miamis, the Dallases, the Tampas, and guess what? Those are the three that fell by the wayside.
Go back to the early 90s, the first time Indianapolis bid for a Super Bowl, we came in second to Minneapolis.
Yeah, I think that, they will have a new stadium. It's supposed to open in 2016. I do think that there's some concern among owners about the Wilf family and some of the troubles that they've had. They've got
two owners, the Vikings.
Right, they've got two owners in the league now who brought some questionable attention to the league. So that may work against Minneapolis. I think New Orleans is really the big worry here. And Indianapolis is really going to keep everybody honest because everybody understands that we know how to do it, and we always bring innovation to this. So it'll be I'll be curious to see what they do in May.
Think we're a favorite?
I don't think we're a favorite. I mean, I think we have a shot at it, and
sure.
And certainly we have a shot at it sooner than anybody else expected, and that's to the credit of the city for doing such a great job last time. But I agree with you. I think New Orleans, the 300th anniversary,
right.
It's there's some tough competition out there.
Maybe this time they'll keep the lights on.
Well, that's what everybody's saying. That, you know, in Minneapolis.
Not that I'm a homer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they do that.
Look, they had snow when they had it in Minneapolis last time, but they got a lot of ways to get around downtown Minneapolis and stay out of the snow.
We've got a shot at this thing, and it's because we've set what is now looked upon as a new standard for how these things are conducted. Mm-hmm. The village idea is something that they're going to carry forward now in every one. And I think because we're in the mix, that's going to set the bar even higher for those opposing cities to try to meet that. This was a $384 million impact on Indianapolis. 89% of that money came from outside. 84% of it stayed inside Indianapolis.
Right.
So these are huge economic hits for a city like this. You know, and I think it was said that it would generate like $118 million in tax revenue.
Any problem coming up with the $30 million in seed money?
No, we're over halfway there already, so that's a tremendous start.
While state lawmakers prepare to debate gay marriage, one local politician is getting married to a same-sex partner. Zach Adamson, a Democrat on the Indianapolis City County Council, will travel to Washington, D.C. next week so he can marry his longtime partner, Christian Mossberg. Adamson is the first openly gay member of the council. He and Mossberg plan an Indianapolis reception, but of course cannot legally marry in this state. Mike McDaniel, will that have any effect on the debate at the State House?
I don't think so, but congratulations to them, you know. The law is what it is in Indiana, so subsequently they've got to go elsewhere to do it, and good for them. I mean, that's an important day for them.
Will it have any bearing on Zach Adamson's political career?
I don't think so. I think that the mood in this state, and particularly in this city, is changing so quickly. I add my congratulations to them, and it's just a shame that they have to go to Washington to have this done.
I think it's an interesting move by a guy who's in political office.
Well, I think what he's doing is being authentic and genuine. I mean, there was no surprise because when he ran his campaign, everybody knew that he was a gay person. And, you know, so he's living his life. And I think that's what really the argument comes down to because it's a question of rights. And so, you know, good for him. And I'll be unanimous here. Congratulations. Have a great day and look forward to the party when they get back to Indianapolis.
How do you know you're invited?
I have been invited.
As I've said before, with the rapid shift in public
Mine
opinion
must have
on,
blown out the porch.
on this issue, it's I don't know if it's going to be 10, 20, 30, 40 years, but at some point people will look back at these kinds of discussions. Do you know that this councilman had to go to Washington, D.C. to get married, and people, I think, will shake their heads, especially younger generations, in disbelief that that was the case. I think it's inevitable here and in other states across the country.
He should. I tell you what, you know, the mayor of Minneapolis was in Chicago recently holding news conferences, inviting gay people from Chicago to come to Minneapolis and hold their weddings there as an economic development initiative.
Do you think Mayor Ballard would do that here?
Well, they can do that. We'll do the Super Bowl here. Everybody's happy then.
A new musical by singer John Mellencamp and author Stephen King debuted at Indiana University this week. The musical is called Ghost Brothers of Darkland County. The story centers around a haunted cabin in Mississippi. Mellencamp and King say the show has a gritty atmosphere.
You know, we don't want it to be slick. We want it to be, you know, like a garage band version of a Broadway show.
A lot of the shows look more and more like e-ticket rides at, say, Disney World or Six Flags. And this is a little bit not so much that way. It's more of a down-home.
And Delaney, will that show be a hit?
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's great that they're going outside their comfort zone and trying something new. You know, it's wonderful. Good.
Is that, have you seen a more odd couple recently? John Mellencamp and
don't
Stephen
answer that
Kahn.
Question.
I was going to say, I'm sitting here thinking. I'm sitting here taking inventory of, no. Getting the answer, no.
They seem an unlikely pairing, don't they, for a musical or anything?
Well, you don't think of Stephen King and musical in the same
sense. Okay, so here's a little tidbit for you, all right? Okay. T-Bone Burnett is also the producer of this, a famous musician producer. But a couple of local teenage girls who have come together and have an album coming out October 29th, Lily and Madeline, sang on the soundtrack for this. They have tremendous voices, tremendous talents, and so I hope if this takes off, it helps them because they're on the verge of stardom.
The official
That's
band.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwantes of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute and Musical Promotions. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast or starting Monday. You can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Cello of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
AT&T, connecting Hoosiers with the world for more than 130 years. Investing to build communication networks to help Indiana businesses and consumers succeed in a global economy. AT&T, rethink possible.